Well, here we are again, friends. Another evening worship service. Yesterday being Monday, Thursday, and today being Good Friday, we're gathered once again to remember that today is indeed Good Friday. So the question is always, what is so good about Good Friday? After all, it's the time when we read in Scripture when Jesus was beaten, when he was tortured, humiliated, shamed, and ridiculed, when he got nailed and crucified on the cross, and not only that, but eventually died and was buried all one afternoon. What's so good about this day, this night? If anything, it should be called Bitter Friday or Bad Friday, if not a Horrible Friday. But no, most Christian in English-speaking world calls this night or this day as Good Friday. Why? Well, you may know the answer to this, but I tell you that millions, if not billions of people around the world does not really know why we call it Good Friday. When I recently asked the question of my confirmands, only one of them got the answer right. She said, "It's because on that day, it sucked for Jesus, but good for us." Right on the nose. Yes, that day, that afternoon, it must have really sucked for Jesus because he was crucified and died and buried on a Friday some 2,000 years ago, just outside of the city of Jerusalem. But because of what he did on that cross long ago, you and I can look at a cross, any cross, and we see hope. There are, as you know, crosses everywhere in our world, and church buildings for sure, even certain schools, out in the streets, places where people have lost their lives, there's crosses by the wayside in remembrance of them. There are crosses everywhere these days. People, millions, if not billions of people, wear crosses as necklaces, as fashion jewelry. And we see them as symbolizing for us of hope, of salvation, of God's love toward us. Yes, it was on a Friday, long ago, and we're still benefiting. We're benefiting from what took place then. It must have sucked for Jesus, but it's good for us, what he did. So this Friday is indeed called and known as Good Friday because of what was done by our Lord Jesus Christ on that cross. Something that you and I, individually or collectively, could have never, ever done on our own. No matter how much time we dedicate to it, no matter how much money we poured into the effort, no matter how much begging and graveling we do, we would not have accomplished what Jesus did that afternoon on the cross. As a matter of fact, even our best efforts and the utmost endeavors to save ourselves from God's wrath would not have succeeded as Jesus has done that afternoon See, the unfortunate thing is, as human beings who are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves, as people who fall short of God's standards, of God's glory, and as people who break God's heart every time and every turn we take, the unfortunate thing is that someone has to pay for all those failures of ours. Someone has to pay for the failures that we commit for meeting God's standards and God's godliness. Yes, someone must pay with their blood. Someone must die on the cross to satisfy the wages of sin, which Paul says is nothing short of death. And someone must do it and complete the task. Let me ask you a question. Do you ever feel like I do? Do you ever feel that you can't get it all done in this life? That you can't finish it all? That there's just not enough time, not enough money, not enough energy? It just can't all be done. I have projects that I've started years ago and is yet to be completed. See, the truth is that this world is filled with unfinished projects, unfinished jobs, unfinished works, unfinished businesses. And what's even more sad to our reality is that each of us, my friends, each of us will die with unfinished business or projects in our life. We just simply can't finish at all. But you know what? There has only been one person in the history of our world that has died with his life fulfilled and his mission completed. I think I know you know who that is. It's Jesus, our Lord. The other night, my wife and I were watching a movie that's supposed to depict the life and ministry and the works of Christ. It was a movie, was a very controversial movie back in the mid-80s. It was called The Last Temptation of Christ. I talked about it in my Bible study about how back in the mid-80s, a lot of Christians, and I mean a lot of Christians, really got up in arms about this movie because it offended their sense of Christianity. I found it amusing. I found it very funny. And one of the things that not only this particular movie, but all the other movies that I have seen portraying the life of Jesus, always portrayed Jesus as someone who had an identity crisis. As someone who was never really sure what he was all about, just kind of stumbled his way into finally ended up on the cross with this puzzle. Look, how did I get here? The truth for us is that Jesus knew who he was from the get-go. He knew very clearly who he was about, what his task, what his mission was from the very beginning. Remember the time when he was about 11, 12 years old and his parents left him in Jerusalem? Or he ditched his parents, perhaps, and he stayed in the temple. And when he was found, and they asked, why are you here? And he says, don't you know I'm about to be about my father's business? He knew. He had no identity crisis. He was not confused at what his role and what his mission on earth was. Jesus knew it from the get-go. And he knew what he came to do on earth. In fact, also in John chapter 4, the 34th verse, Jesus said that the things that sustain him, the things that give him empowerment, is to do the will of the one who sent him and to finish his work. So he knew. So when you watch any of these, trust me, this is the time now where a lot of TVs are going to show Jesus movies. And watch, they're going to portray this Jesus as someone who's got all kinds of identity crisis. Don't you believe it? Even the movie, some of you know it, or the play Jesus Christ Superstar. Wonderful musical, terrible theology. Don't ever get your theology from Broadway shows, by the way. Just a piece of advice. Jesus knew what he's going to accomplish. And apparently, he did. Because billions of people, billions of our brothers and sisters around the world will indeed celebrate Easter this weekend. We'll celebrate that Easter, joyous Easter, with us in their respective places. But you know, there can be no Easter, there can be no celebration of Easter without a Good Friday. Do you know why? Because what's so good about Good Friday is that it reminds us of the last three words of Jesus from the cross. Three words that have never been more important and more impactful in the history of our world. Do you know what those three words are? You heard it when I read the scriptures. Those three words are, it is finished. Now, I know some of you think, oh, I love you. No, that ain't it. That's not the most important word in the world. It is finished is the most important word in the world. In fact, it ought to be, if it's not, the most important words in your life. It is finished. See, if Jesus didn't declare those three words from the cross, your life and mine would be the stuff that horror movies are made of. The only difference is that you would actually be real. See, if Jesus didn't say those three words from the cross, you'd have no hope. You'd have no reason nor purpose to get up every morning. You'd have no peace in your heart. You'd have no life to live. And you certainly would not have a place in heaven if Jesus didn't say those three words. If Jesus didn't say those three words, you would find the words, the other three words that we often think of as more important, even the words, I love you, will become hollow and meaningless if Jesus didn't say, it is finished. Now, in the original Greek, the word is one word. Tetelestai. Tetelestai is the Greek translation of the three words that is most important in our lives, or that it ought to be more important than any other words that has ever been strung together. Tetelestai is the word that was commonly used in the ancient world throughout the Roman Empire. Throughout the Greek world. Tetelestai basically means, in our English, paid in full. That's what tetelestai means. That's what Jesus declared on the cross. Now, by the way, most of us think that Jesus said it is finished. He must have said it in some sort of a whimper. I'm tired, y'all. It's finished. No! It was a declaration. It was, in fact, a battle cry. It's finished! It is something that has been accomplished, and he let heaven and earth know of it. He didn't say, it is finished, and died. He said it with the confidence, the assurance that all has been paid in full. Tetelestai, archaeologists have found all kinds of documents and things in various places that has the word Tetelestai stamped on them. Bills, Tetelestai, paid in full. Anything that was paid in complete was stamped with Tetelestai. This is what Jesus had declared. Paid in full. By the way, you notice that he didn't say, I'm finished. He says, it is finished. Unfortunately, those who heard him did not understand what he was saying. It's kind of an ironic thing. Jesus declared, it is finished. Those around him heard something different. Heard that he may have said something like, I'm finished. So the guards who were waiting and who attended him, they probably heard him and they said, oh, finally. Yeah, okay, he's done. Pilate probably heard when Jesus says, it is finished, he concluded, that headache is gone. That headache is finished. The religious leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and all the others heard him say, it is finished. They probably concluded, phew, now our competition is gone. Isn't that a relief? Even the disciples must have heard him, and they thought, oh boy, our dreams are finished. Even Satan heard Jesus say, it is finished, and he concluded, I won. I killed the Son of God. God is dead. I won. It's not what Jesus meant. It's not what Jesus meant for those who believed in him then, and it's not what Jesus meant for those who believe in him now. What Jesus meant was that the sin, that the price that we would have gotten for our waywardness, for our rebelliousness, for our sinfulness, that what each of us deserve, he has paid in full. Tetelestai. It is done. Wiped. It is no longer on the ledger. It is not owed to those who believe in him. It is Tetelestai, paid in full. Now you may ask, what exactly did he pay in full? Well, I could give you a laundry list of things that Jesus fulfilled to completion. For starters, in the Old Testament, there are about 385 prophecies about the coming Savior. These are prophecies that were given to God's people for them to look for, to have an idea when the true Messiah comes. There are about 385 of them in the Old Testament, and Jesus fulfilled every single one of them. Tetelestai. There are over thousands of promises that God made to you and me in the Bible, and Jesus fulfilled each and every one of them. In fact, the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 declares that. Paul wrote that all the promises, all of God's promises, has been fulfilled in Christ. Like I said, I could list a whole laundry list of things that Jesus actually tetelestai, paid in full for us. They're in the book. But the long and short of it is this, that Jesus paid in full for your sin and mine. He took it on his back, as it were. He got so ugly with the sins of the world that his Father couldn't even stand to look at him. Hence he cried, "Father, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, why have you forsaken me?" He fulfilled the role that you and I could not, could never, whether we're to collect our efforts together or go at it individually. Jesus did on the cross. Therefore, you have been tetelestai. You have been paid in full. Not because he had to, because he wanted to. Out of love and compassion for you and for me, he paid it all in full. Have you ever had, I was going to say, have you ever been a victim, but depends. Have you ever had those episodes in your life when you went to pay something and the cashier says, "No, it's already taken care of by that person or that guy"? Somebody you have no clue who that was, but they already paid it for you? I had that a few times, and I'm telling you, it's unnerving to me. I don't know about you. Yes, I should be thankful. I should be cheering and say, "Hey, all right, I found my new best friend." But something in me just doesn't sit right. How can it be paid in full? I should be paying for it. I was planning to pay for it. And yet the person who doesn't know me from Adam simply paid it, tetelestai, for me. Yes, the proper response is always thank you. And I do say that to those who have done that. Thank you. And that is what we're called to do, even in a night like tonight, Good Friday. A day that it is indeed good for us because we have been the beneficiary of someone who paid it forward for us, Jesus. It is a good day indeed for us because someone paid it in full so that we may have life, so we may live, so we may have hope, so that we may indeed have a reason and a purpose to get up every morning and give thanks and praise to God. Jesus' last three words as he hung on the cross was a battle cry, if you will. It was a word declaring both to heaven and to earth and those under the earth that he has paid it all in full. That's why Paul says, "Who shall bring any charge against God's people? No one. because you have been paid in full. So pass it on.